Jesus said, I am the source of strength and security, of rest and renewal, of healing and of hope. I am like a vine giving life to its branches, producing good and abundant fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. His promise is to provide. Our task is to abide. And this is why we have come. Our worship is less about where we are or what songs we sing or what style we prefer. Our worship is active and intentional abiding. It is our decision in a chaotic world to rest in God's presence. It is an expression of our trust that we will find strength and peace simply by knowing the source of strength and peace. Hear the good news this morning. There is a source to provide for those who will simply abide. We light the Christ candle this morning here and in our homes as an act of worship, as a sign of our trust and of our hope. And so would you join me in professing that trust and that hope in our all-sufficient Christ through the Apostles' Creed using the words on the screen? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning, Broadway. Welcome. We worship a God who is Father, who is Son, and who is Spirit. And this morning, may our souls raise up to meet him as the day rises to meet the Son. Glory to God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Let's sing together. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet son. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet son. You ride. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet soul. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet soul. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet soul. Now sing again. on the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are the Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loves me.
Today I'll be reading John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless if you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
It's alright. That was just a small sampling of all the amazing gardeners that we have in our congregation. Pretty impressive, right? We have so many among us who are super skilled at growing beautiful flowers and who are experts in cultivating delicious food. It seems like anything that they touch becomes bountiful and fruitful. They truly have a green thumb. But then there are others of us, other people like me, who are quite the opposite. I'm pretty sure that I could just look at a plant and make it shrivel right up. This past summer, I was determined to keep alive just one thing. I really wanted beautiful flowers to be on my porch, and so I went to the store and I bought them, already potted in a plant, already full grown, already thriving and healthy. The only thing that I needed to do was just add water. This time, I was just so sure that I could do it, that I would learn from all of my past mistakes, and that I was going to make these plants thrive. But alas, this is how that turned out. Pretty pitiful, right? I share that up front with you today so that you can know that the world's foremost gardening expert is not going to be teaching you about Jesus's final I am statement in the book of John today, when he says to us, "I am the vine," a very clear agricultural reference. However, the good news is this metaphor that Jesus uses, I think it's one that even gardening challenged people like me can get our heads and our hearts around to understand more of who Jesus is. Jesus says, "I am the vine." And whenever he says this in the book of John, it seems to come out of nowhere. You know, he has been up in the upper room. He's been enjoying his last meal with his disciples. He's gotten down on his hands and his knees, and he has washed their feet. He's comforted them, and he's promised them that the Holy Spirit will be coming to them. And then he said, "Let's go." They've gotten up, and they have left the upper room, and they are headed somewhere. They're transitioning from one place to another in Jerusalem. And as they're going along, all of a sudden, Jesus starts talking about vines and gardeners and branches. It kind of makes me wonder if maybe as they were walking along, they saw a vine that was growing somewhere. And when Jesus saw this very familiar object, this thing that he and his disciples all knew and understood, it makes me wonder if he just decided to take this opportunity to use that to communicate something very important to them. Remember, Jesus and his disciples are walking. They're going somewhere. They have left the upper room. And so guess where they are headed? To the garden. To the very last place that Jesus is going to be physically present with his disciples on this side of the resurrection. In a few short hours, Jesus is going to be betrayed and arrested in this very spot. And in a few hours after that, Jesus is going to be condemned and crucified. The time that Jesus has left with his disciples is so very short. And so he is making the most of every single moment that he has left with them. You see, Jesus knows that once he's no longer physically present with his disciples, that there's this huge temptation that they are going to face. They're going to be tempted to try to carry on this movement, to carry on this work that Jesus has started all by themselves. In their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own way. And Jesus knows that if they try to do that, that the weight is just going to be too great. He knows that they are going to end up a lot like those plants on my front porch, brittle and broken, dry and depleted, wilted and worn out. And so Jesus uses this precious time that he has remaining with them to make it clear to them and to all the disciples that would come after them what their role and what our role truly is. Jesus, he does this first by telling us what our role is not. You know, I have to do this with my son sometimes. He'll kind of begin to try to call the shots in the house. He'll start trying to take charge. He'll start kind of bossing me around, telling me what he is and what he's not going to do. And I have to, of course, ever so gently and ever so calmly remind him, hey, Lincoln, you are the child and I am the parent. We could all use those little reminders sometimes. We all need boundaries clarified. And so that's what Jesus does here. He begins by saying, I am the true vine. Let's think about that for a moment. What is the role of a vine? Well, a vine is the source of life to all of the branches. A vine is what delivers the water and the nitrogen and all of the nutrients throughout the entire plant so that it can be healthy and can be fruitful. Jesus says, that is who I am. I am the vine. I am the source of life. That is my role and my role alone. In the Old Testament, Israel was often depicted in this very same way. For example, if you go to Psalm 80, you'll see there that the psalmist talks about how God took a vine out of Egypt and planted it in the promised land. The role of Israel was to provide this life-giving connection to God and to produce fruit for him. And so it was such a common description of Israel that there was even this golden sculpture that was over one of the porches in the temple in Jerusalem. It looked something like this. And the Jewish historian Josephus, he said that the cluster of grapes there, that they were as tall as a man. So perhaps this was the spot that Jesus and his disciples were journeying past on their way to the garden. They would have passed right by the temple. And perhaps this was in their sight and what prompted him to start talking about being this true vine. We can't be sure. But what we can be sure of is that Jesus is communicating very clearly to them that this role, this purpose that once rested upon Israel, now rests upon him. He says, I am the true vine. I have come to embody all that a vine should be. I am the source of life for everyone. But the metaphor continues on. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then he goes on to describe what the role of God the Father is. He says, and the Father is the gardener. Think back to those pictures that we saw earlier from the gardeners in our congregation. Could you see the pride in those pictures? Could you see all the love and the energy and the effort that they had invested into those plants? You know, plants like that, They don't just happen, right? Beautiful flowers and delicious food, they take some intentionality. Trust me, remember what my plants look like. These gardeners, they had to carefully cultivate an environment in which these plants could flourish. And that's what God, the gardener, does for us. If a vine is left to itself, then it's just going to get all straggly and tangled and start growing in on itself. It will waste all kinds of energy growing in the wrong direction and producing fruit that is just second rate. It needs help to grow in the right direction toward the light. It needs help to produce good grapes. And so the gardener, he lovingly cuts away the branches that are just getting in the way. And the gardener carefully prunes those branches that are already fruitful so that they can be even more fruitful, so that they can become all that they are capable of. Now, as we hear that might sound a little scary to us, right? We're not so sure we want anybody pruning us. We don't want anyone cutting anything away. But it's helpful for us to remember that pruning is not punishment. Rather, pruning is about God, the gardener, knowing exactly how to develop us. He knows when to wait and when to harvest. He knows those parts of us that might just need a little bit more time and those parts of us that need a little bit of encouragement in shaping up. Pruning, it's not a threat to us. Rather, pruning should be a comfort to us. Because think about it. the gardener is never closer to the plant, taking more care and more thought over its well-being than when the gardener has a pruning knife in his hand. The gardener, God the Father, he wants the very best for us. Jesus is the true vine, the source of life. God the Father is the gardener, the one who cultivates an environment in which we can flourish. And so, what does that make us? Who are we? What is our role? Our role is to be the branches. And that means that we have one job, and that job is to abide. Our sole role is to make a conscious decision to dwell in the vine, to make our permanent residence there. Our role is to purposefully and intentionally live our lives connected to Jesus as if the abundance of our life depends upon it. Because guess what? It does. Verse 5 goes on and says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This metaphor, it comes through loud and clear. We must abide. We cannot thrive if we are living disconnected from the vine. Again, Jesus is speaking these words to his very first disciples, just mere moments before he is no longer going to be physically present with them. Up until this time, you know, he's been walking around on earth with him, and so it's been pretty easy for them to stay in relationship with him. You know, they've been able to talk with him face to face. They could spend time with him and hear his voice and watch his ways. They could very naturally draw on his wisdom and on his strength and on his love that came from being right there in his physical presence. But what does it look like to abide in the vine when that's no longer the case? What does it look like for someone like you and someone like me to stay connected to the one who is the source of life? In the Methodist tradition, we talk about the ways that God has given us to stay connected to the vine as being means of grace. These actions, these practices, that they aren't magic. They aren't anything that has any power in and of themselves. Remember, we are just branches. We can't just try really hard and make ourselves bear fruit. Rather, we have to receive what is needed from the vine in order to thrive. And so these means of grace, they help us to do that. They are these ordinary channels that God has given us. And so when we engage in these actions, we abide. We intentionally dwell in Jesus' presence, and his nourishing and transforming love flows into our lives. We abide when we worship, whether that's in person or online. We abide when we study the scriptures, whether that's alone in our room or with others on Zoom. We abide when we talk with God, whether that's in a silent and sacred sanctuary or in the refining fire that is an elementary school car rider pickup line. We abide when we serve others. Whenever we serve them by taking them a meal to comfort them when they mourn, or whenever we work for justice. But let me be clear here. These actions that we're taking, they're not actions that we take to stay in God's good graces, but rather these are actions through which we encounter God's good grace. These are not actions that we engage in order to earn the love of Jesus, but rather these are actions that we engage in order to receive the love that Jesus already and always extends to us. The difference is important here. The first is the equivalent of us trying to thrive by being our own vine. It's the equivalent of us trying to do it on our own, in our own strength, in our own way, thinking that if we could just check enough boxes of good things that we could do for God, that we could somehow earn our way into a thriving life. But if we take that approach, then guess what? We're going to end up brittle and broken, dry and depleted, wilted, and worn out. It will not work for us. We cannot do it on our own. However, when we engage in these actions, understanding that their purpose is to connect us to the person of Jesus so that we can receive from him what only he can give, then that's when we start to come more fully alive. That is when we start to thrive. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement, and you would be hard-pressed to find anyone who was more rigorous in their religious practices than him. He grew up in a Christian home, and he went off to Oxford to study to be a minister. And while he was there, he became a part of a group known as the Holy Club. Their one goal was to be real Christians. And so they had all of these different actions, all of these practices that they were regularly involved in. Every night they would study and the scriptures and pray together. And then once a week they would celebrate communion. Twice a week they would fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. They had this systematic approach to visiting the sick and the imprisoned, and they were very intentional about serving the poor. As people watched them do this week in and week out, like clockwork, they began to comment on their methodical ways. And so that's actually how we have our name, Methodist, today. It was a joke that stuck and endured across time. However, despite all of this in John Wesley's life, despite all of his works of piety, despite all of his works of mercy, despite him becoming a minister and eventually a missionary himself, despite doing all of these really, really good things, John Wesley began to struggle. When it came down to it, it seemed like all that he had learned in his head and all that he was doing with his hands was somehow disconnected from his heart. Sure, you know, he knew a whole lot about Jesus, and he was doing all these things on the outside that he thought that a real Christian should. But on the inside, he was feeling like he didn't really know Christ himself. Of course, this was really stressful for him because remember his goal, to be a real Christian, not just one in name alone. He wanted to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. But there seemed to be this giant chasm between where he was and where he wanted to be. This all changed when he was nearly 35 years old. On May 24th, 1738, John Wesley reluctantly went to a meeting with his friends. And whenever he got there, someone was reading aloud Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle of Romans. You guys, I have to read a lot of commentaries, okay? And let me assure you, they're not the most exciting thing to read. In fact, if you're needing a little help going to sleep at night, then that might be the thing, okay? But somehow, on this night, as John Wesley was hearing these words read, God used it to get his attention. Somehow, on this night, this is what John Wesley described as happening. He said, about a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. That night, Jesus moved from a concept in John Wesley's mind to a person whose love he had experienced. That night, all of these different actions and practices that he had been engaging in suddenly were no longer just about trying to work his way to being a good Christian, but rather they became these life-giving ways that he could stay connected to the vine, to Jesus. And as he stayed connected to him, he started to come more fully alive. He started to have all of this fruit produced through his life as God worked in and through him. I mean, think about it. You and I, we are united today in worship because of what God did through John Wesley's life. John Wesley started to thrive. I'm not sure if you caught it as I was reading the quote as he described what happened that night, but in that quote, he tells us when the turning point was for him. And he says that it was when he trusted Jesus. when he trusted that Jesus could do in him and for him what he had been trying to do for himself all of those years. You see, when we choose to abide, there's an abandonment. We have to abandon our preconceived plans and our preferred agendas. We have to abandon what we think is best and what we think will fix us. We have to abandon our need to control the process and our desire to be independent. And instead, we have to entrust our lives to the person of Jesus, believing that he is indeed who he says he is. Jesus is the vine. He is the source of life, and we are the branches. We cannot thrive if we live disconnected from the vine. And so as we come to the table today, may we come ready to abide. May we come ready to receive the full, flourishing, abundant life that only he can provide as we dwell in his presence.
Now let's prepare our hearts to receive the gift of God's presence through Holy Communion. Would you join me in the words on the screen? The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, again gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Would you pray with me? God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we mysteriously and mystically might be the body of Christ in the world, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one in unity with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let's share together in Holy Communion.
We want to invite you into this song as Pastor Laura just shared a message on the I Am saying of Jesus, of I am the vine. And what a better way to kind of wrap our heads around that and kind of let that sink in than to sing about it. So You may or may not have heard this song before, but I invite you into this moment. Let's sing this together. strength. You're my rest, my hiding place. You're my refuge, you're my strength. I abide in you. You're my refuge, you're my strength. You're my rest, my hiding place. You're my refuge, you're my strength. I abide in you. You're my refuge, you're my strength. You're my rest, my hiding place. You're my refuge, you're my strength.
I want to thank you for worshiping with us today. And as we prepare to go, I want to point out something that I've noticed these last several months, which is the power of Broadway's mission to keep us grounded. That mission, invite, grow, and serve, gives us handles to grab hold of what God is doing in this present moment. And in this present moment, it is as important as ever to extend the love of Jesus, to grow even through challenges, and to serve when people need it the most. Our mission, invite, grow, and serve, is as important as ever, more needed now than ever. And I wanna thank you for taking up that mission, for living into it in these days through your membership in this body of Christ. A few reminders as we prepare to go. Beginning October 11th, we will begin offering in-person worship opportunities at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 at our Melrose Campus Sanctuary, and at 9 and 10:30 at our Greenwood Campus. Student ministry for 6th through 12th graders will resume Sunday morning rhythm at Melrose at 9:30 and 11, and we will continue offering our weekly online worship opportunities this service, 10 a.m. each Sunday. Look for emails and a letter we've sent so you can learn all the details, and go to our website anytime, broadwayunited.org/welcome home. In this series, we've been offering a weekly prayer to use on the home screen of your phone as a reminder of the week's message. Be looking for a push notification today through our app with this week's prayer. And if you haven't yet downloaded the Broadway app, text BUMCAPP, BUMC app, to the number 77977. Finally, thank you for giving to Broadway's mission through your regular tithes and your offerings. And thanks to all those who have given already to support Ashley and Justin Guest's ministry in Honduras through our Dollar Difference offering. Following our benediction today, stick around to watch as Ashley and Justin give us a quick update on the challenges they are facing in Roatan, Honduras, and how we can help. You can give quickly and safely through our app, through this online platform, by mailing a check to the church, or on our website at broadwayunited.org/give. I'm so grateful for each of you, and I pray God's every blessing on you in the week ahead. So let's send one another out with this benediction on the screen. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.
Hi, I'm Ashley. This is Justin Guest. We are missionaries in Punta Gorda in Roatan, Honduras, and have been missionaries in Honduras for 10 years now. The situation right now has been very difficult from the pandemic. People have not been able to work since March 15th. There are currently circulation orders where people can only leave every 2 weeks according to the last digit of their ID. And with people not being able to work, they're not able to provide for their families. And it's been very difficult. When people are ill, they don't have any way to get to a pharmacist. There's no way to buy food. It's just very, very trying.
Yeah, and our goal of being here when we first came was to empower and equip local leaders to dream about the future and see what we needed to do to help them advance. But since the pandemic, that has been very difficult. But God really just opened doors. Through this pandemic, we've been working with the local leaders, and I think they're even more strengthened than before. They are making those connections with vendors, they are making that connection with the community, and it's not just Justin and Ashley showing up at their door, giving them bags of food, or helping them when they need to pay their water. These local leaders have been able to step up and really provide where there was no other option.
Thank you, Omututi. Grigia, Ona Bani, Lagerega, America, Huntima Grigia, Yahoo, Punta Gord. Thank you, Omuti, Ludiga. Lidia near Fifi Sandu, Saguayu, Lulona Hona Honey, Gawanule, Lugora La Hidia, Grigia Punta Gord.
And up to this point, we've been able to distribute over 8,000 meals, and that is thanks to generous donations. And we are so, so incredibly thankful to be able to help fill in that gap where it's so needed at this time.
Yeah, when this all started, we were worried. We were worried about what we were going to be able to do for the community. We were worried about finances. We knew people in the States were suffering as well. Jobs were being cut, but it's just been amazing how many people have stepped up and donated it so that these people here can continue to live, continue to eat, because they do not have a lot of options. There's no government assistance coming in. There's no other outside groups. There were at first, but since after the first couple months, there hasn't been many people coming in.
So thank you so much for helping make that possible on behalf of all of Punta Gorda who are receiving these benefits. Thank you so much. We can't tell you how much that means to all of us. And if you'd like to be a part of this, if you'd like to contribute towards that, then you can do so at our website or through Broadway. Thank you so much.
Love you guys. Blessings.